Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another session of Read the Word. Woo! We'd get up and dance around, but we might knock something over. Don't want to do that. So, you know, it's a pretty exciting day that we live in ourselves. Not only is the Word of God exciting, but it's a pretty exciting day that we live in. And, you know, here's David. We're in 1 Samuel now. David is crowned the king. No. David is anointed king, but not crowned king. King Saul is still the king, and he's out to kill David. Now, yesterday, we read the story of David and Jonathan, how Jonathan said, I'm going to shoot an arrow long. It means it's okay. Shoot it short means you better hit the street and run. And Jonathan never could figure out why his dad was doing what he was doing to him, to David. But in this session tonight, while David is running for his life, 400 of his broke, busted, and disgusted relatives come and say, be our captain. And David begins to build an army right while Saul's chasing him. And Saul never gets him. And it takes 15 years for Saul to, for God to remove Saul and David to be set up as king. So that's all what we're studying tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Remember, most of these videos, I don't think last night did, we have timestamps in them where you can click on that. It'll take you right to the very chapter, specific comment that we make in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray our opening prayer that we pray every time we come here, every day. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. I like that. So that I will be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Welcome, YouTube. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Now, 1 Samuel, chapter 21. David and the Holy Bread. People say holy cow, this is holy bread. Now David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. Remember, David's running for his life. Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, why are you alone and no one is with you? David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you, or what I've commanded you. And I've directed my young men to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what have you on hand? 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found. The priest answered David, there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. Then David answered the priest and said to him, truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. And the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated vessel this day. Now, that's a whole lot of religion there, isn't it? Wow.
Interesting.
I'm hungry. Well, you've been with a woman? Can't eat. Just starve. Verse 6. So the priest gave him holy bread. For there was no bread there, but the showbread which had been taken from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place on that day when it was taken away. Verse 7. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, is there not here a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword with me, because the king's business required haste. The priest said, sword of Goliath, the Philistine, killed in Elah. There it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take it, take that, well then take it. For there is no other except that one here. David said, there is none like it to me. That was David's anyways, because he had... Verse 10. To the victor comes the spoils. So that spear actually, or sword actually belonged to David.
Right.
Number 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul, went to Achish, the king of Gath. That was the city where Goliath was from. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? David took these wounds to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. That's the problem with too many people, is they take the words to heart. And Jesus said, guard your heart so the words of wicked in them. Verse 13, so he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Achish said to his servants, look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I a need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come out? David's running for his life, man. Verse 22. Now watch this. David, this is 7 minutes and 10 seconds. David is running for his life. And Saul has killed anybody, anywhere, that's protecting him. But watch this. This is one of the most interesting stories in all the Old Testament right here. 22. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers, all his father's house, heard that, they went down there to him. He's trying to hide in a cave. Father's house to him. You know, when you're trying to hide so you don't die, you just don't want your brothers with you. Watch this. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became a captain over them. And there were 400 men with him. 823. These are mighty warriors. They're in debt, they're distressed, and they're discontented. A sour heart going on. David, when he killed Goliath, all his house was tax-free, but someone, and these guys found David in a cave, hiding, and said, hey, Dave, come here. Would you guys just shut up? Saul's coming. I love this story. Anyways, verse number 3. David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please, let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in that stronghold. Depart. Go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. Verse 6. When Saul heard that David and the men were with him, who were with him, had been discovered, Saul was staying in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree in Ramah, with his spear in his hand and all his servants standing about him. Now watch what anger and rage will do to a person. Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give everyone and hundreds and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who revealed to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who is sorry for me, or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. The king sent to call a priest, the son of Ahitub, all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob. And they all came to the king. And Saul said, 'Here now, son of Ahitub.' And he answered, 'Here I am, my lord.' Saul said to him, 'Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, and that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day?' Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? For far be it from me, let not the king impute anything to your servant or to anyone in the house of my father, for your servant knows nothing of all this, little or much.' The king said, 'You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house.' Then the king said to the guards who stood, 'Turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew what they did not tell me. But the servants of the king did not lift their hands to strike the priest of the Lord.'" That's a pretty smart move right there. 18, "And the king said to Doeg, 'You turn and kill the priest.' So Doeg the Edomite and struck the priest and killed that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod." Wonder what his day in hell is like. And he's been burning for many years. Also, the city of the priest he struck with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen, donkeys, sheep with the edge of the sword. Now one of the sons of the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. David said to Abiathar, "I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he'd surely tell Saul, 'I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe.' And you know that David, as a warrior, said, 'I should have just taken Doeg out right there on the spot.'" And 3, if you ever saw the movie The Lone Survivor, that's what those men faced. They knew they should take that little shepherd boy out. And when they didn't, they not only lost the whole SEAL team, they lost like 29 Night Stalkers and the Rangers. And it's just combat. It's bad. Nobody wants to have to do it. But one would have been better than 85 priests having had to been killed.
Yep.
What a wicked man. All right. I am down to, I'm down to chapter 23 now. David saves the city of Keilah. David saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against, and they're robbing the threshing floors. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord said to David, "Go and attack and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look, we are in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him, "Rise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines." And David and his men went to Keilah, fought with the Philistine, shook them with a mighty blow, took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. I'm at verse 6, but think about how much oxen, or how many cattle they had to slaughter to feed David's 400-man army, besides the women and children that was with him. As soon as those people started following David, he had their total care. But that's no big deal to God, is it? Verse 6, happened when Abiathar fled to David at Keilah that he went down with an ephod. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, "God has delivered him in my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars." Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Keilah, deliver me into his hand. Saul, as your servant has heard, O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." David's like, "Yeah, now what?" Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver you." So David and his men, about 600 men, he's added an extra 200, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. Verse 14, and David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into Saul's hand. Saul had come to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the forest. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God and said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites come to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon?" It's kind of like Pokemon, but it's not the same thing. It's Jeshimon. Number 20. "Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me." Saul literally just called on the blessing of God to kill David. Now that's just crazy.
That is crazy.
And I forgot where I was at. You know where I'm at? 22. "Please go and find out for sure, see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there. For I am the Lord. No, for I am told he's very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he's in the land, that I will search for him, throughout all the clans of Judah, and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, and the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore, he went down in the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David had to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called the place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the stronghold at En-Gedi. Chapter 24. This is some stuff tonight, isn't it? It's amazing. And God was with me right through that whole mess. But you got to just be bold and be strong, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. 24. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, he told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 choice men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rock. Now, 21:53, remember this. God said, "I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." And Saul's taking a lot of things and asking for God's blessing. But God's not blessing him, but he's going in the power of some spirit that's telling him to go. It's very interesting. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. Someone would attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recess of the cave. They were inside. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy in your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And what's amazing is Saul stayed asleep while he got it done. Mm-hmm. Happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to my hand against him, seeing he's anointed of the Lord." David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. He's laying right there in front of David. David's like, "Nope, not going to be." Now, come on. David, verse 8, David also went to the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "Hey, my lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm?'" David, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, look, this day your eyes has seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone asked me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, "I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." "Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you now know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, and you say, or against God. Mm-hmm. Yet you have my life to take it." Verse 12. "Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel, whom do you pursue? A dead dog a flea? Let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead any case out of your hand. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I. You have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dwelt, how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, let him get away safely. Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed," I like that, "that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by the house, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up the stronghold. Some amazing word right there, isn't it? And people say the Bible is boring. I don't know how you could call this book boring. David is literally running for his life and yet being very righteous about it. I love it. Now, here we go. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. We never know who's with us. That may have never had the opportunity to be reconciled to the Father. So, I welcome you today. Pray this prayer with me. And in 60 seconds, you will be right with God. Matter of fact, you're probably right with God right now. You just got to pray the prayer. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again the third day.
And you rose again the third day.
I just love it, don't you? Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word
Pray
of God.
Pray in my heavenly prayer language.
Pray in my heavenly prayer language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And I say, welcome to the kingdom of God. It might be the first time you ever prayed a prayer, and I want to be the first one to say, welcome to the kingdom of God. You did not get a church. You did not get a religion. You did not get a denomination. You found Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He made you in right standing with the Father, and now the Holy Spirit is saying, pray the Father that he may pour out his Spirit upon you. And you and I just prayed, fill me with the Holy Spirit. So you're filled. And now you've got to get the outpouring in your life every day. And then this life is just a life of winning when you're living in the covenant and you're living according to the Word of God every day of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Now, You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. How cool is that? All of that in one prayer. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. He's the light of the world. And you and I have the opportunity to have him in here. And he's now our tutor. But he's on the inside. He's tutoring us from the inside out. And what a powerful force that is. What a powerful force. My email address is hgpreacherman@gmail.com. I encourage you that you send me an email and tell me where you're listening from. Send us a postcard so that we can get you cross that line into heaven, walking with Almighty God in Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Did I forget anything? Don't. I want you to always remember we're going to have communion right here and read the word every Sunday morning. During our reading the Bible time. We want you to be a part of it. In Jesus' mighty name. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know what it is. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. There's a playlist in here with all the videos in it. Make sure you connect to it. We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.